Did we check paperwork? Are these guys legal? Is it cool that they're in here, Kevin? Do we know?
We did not check, and yes, it's cool.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Bastille here at K-Rock this morning. In our studio right now, Dan and Kyle from the band. Welcome to K-Rock, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Have you? How many times have you guys been to America since Bastille's been up and running as a band?
We came earlier in the year and played at South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, we've made some music videos here, but these are our first like headline shows.
So nice.
Yeah.
What you think of Texas, coming from England and then finding yourself plopped out in the middle of Austin, Texas? What was that like for you?
Well, we
dusty.
Only...
Yeah, it was dusty.
Dusty, okay. That's all of Texas.
And a lot of pulled pork. A lot of pulled pork.
Yeah, sure.
I think you probably see a slightly restricted view of Texas if you just see Austin like we did.
So, of course.
We'd like to go back and explore.
And also, we got quite a warped view because it was like full festival open season. So, like, you know, I was like, wow, Austin's that's pretty cool. Like,
really happening.
Loads of musicians here.
There's so many bands everywhere.
Yeah. What's going on? Yeah, it's not like that all the time, unfortunately.
Does it seem kind of like for you guys, because you haven't been a band terribly long, right?
About three years.
3 years.
Okay, well, you paid some dues then. But so many big things are happening for you right now. I mean, you probably didn't expect the level of success that you've had out of the gate with your first record. You were telling us right before the song ended there, Dan, that you guys played the Glastonbury Festival. I mean, that's not the type of thing you anticipate doing pretty much as a new band first album, right?
No, not at all. I mean, also, it doesn't help that we're, like, led by me, massively pessimistic and negative about everything.
Are you pessimistic and negative? Really?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does it drive you crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. He drags us down, man.
Does he?
Yeah.
You might need to cut him loose. Although you write a lot of the songs, don't you, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Dan's right. In every interview, he said he always manages to work in. But when I'm working in McDonald's in a year,
right.
Like, why are you convinced that this whole thing is going to crash around you?
I don't know. Probably because it is.
It's just the way you were brought up, the way you learned to look at life?
Maybe. I like to think I'm not that much of a drag to be around. But
it's quite nice, though, because then, like, well, like, so far we've been just constantly surprised and happy.
So low expectations equals...
No dreams.
Right, and then if you just moderately make it, you go, wow, this is great.
Well, like Glastonbury, I was like, I didn't think we'd ever get booked, so I bought my ticket. Because I wanted to go.
You bought a ticket to go to the festival?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was convinced we weren't going to get booked, so I bought a ticket. And then, you know, we were pleasantly surprised. I got a refund and everything.
Wow.
Got to play.
Did you?
Got a refund.
No way.
How did you go about getting your first record on the radio? Tell me what that was like back home. Like, you made a record. Did you get signed to a label right up?
Yeah, so when we started, we released with a little London label, a 7-inch label called Young and Lost. Released a few things with them, and then we signed with Virgin Records. And we just spent most of 2011 just touring and making the album, basically. So it was quite nice to have a year to sort of piece together the album in our friend's studio. And we just kept releasing EPs and singles, and each one sort of grew and grew and grew.
Now, when you say touring and making the album, do you do both at the same time, or do you just tour and then come back and work on the
album? Yeah, kind of like a week in the studio.
Because some people will write on the road. You know, whatever, maybe that's their thing. And during sound check, they come up with ideas.
We do sometimes just see Dan sneaking off and, like, singing sort of maniacally into his phone.
Are you sure there's not someone on the other end?
Yeah. Because why do you assume I'm recording it? That's me calling my mum.
Right. Now, Dan, are you also convinced every time you write a song that that's it, the well is dry, you'll never write another one?
Yes. Yes, I am, a little bit. Which is... can be quite frustrating. They come in little bursts. So I'll be slightly panicking. I'm broken, and then suddenly.
I read an interview about you writing songs and how you don't write anything autobiographical. That's weird.
Is it?
Yeah, because
yes.
Almost everybody that writes songs, you have to say write what you know, and most of the time it's at least incorporates part of.
I'm sure it does. I think my point was that I'm not looking to write stuff explicitly about my life, because I just don't think it's very interesting. So everything is filtered through my brain, and I'm sure informed by stuff that I've done and, you know, experiences that I've had and things I think. But I'd rather position the song as like a slightly more interesting story about something else.
Like Laura Palmer.
Yeah, like Laura Palmer.
That's a strange inspiration. A TV show that was on in the
before I was
1990s.
Yeah,
Twin Peaks.
I watched it on DVD and slightly fell in love with anything to do with David Lynch.
Yeah,
and was writing a song, and the song was sort of about running away from your problems. And I was watching loads of Twin Peaks, and so I don't know, the two sort of fused together.
Have you heard David Lynch's new album?
Yes, we did a remix of one of his songs.
No,
yeah. I know.
How do you remix that?
Literally, my like that's like the ultimate. I could pretty much die now and be happy. My whole world sort of shrunk and black hole together
also,
and exploded.
Also, let's tell the people what you did.
Because we did this remix and they liked it. I don't think we're allowed to announce it yet, so this is probably
go ahead and announce idea. It.
No, as in, I'm not allowed to announce that we've done a remix.
Oh, I see. Well, too late for that.
Whoops.
We only have a 4-second delay. You're stuck. All right, so you remixed the David Lynch song. Does it make sense now?
Yeah, we tried to imagine when we did it, because the production's so important in his album, and I think it's all that sort of like 50s like skewed vibe. And so we tried to imagine it was completely different, and it was like 2001: A Space Odyssey, and like it was David Lynch as Hal talking, and we're sort of floating through space. So it's quite different. But basically, it all led to me being able to go and meet him yesterday.
Really, no. To meet David Lynch yesterday?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Now,
which was like, I everyone's like, never meet your idols. I was a bit nervous, but he's like the nicest man I've ever met.
That would be a thrill for me too, because I really admire a lot of the stuff he's done, and he's a visionary and he does his own thing. But this album is just crap, right? I mean, it's nonsense, right?
I mean, I think with David Lynch, you just have to bring whatever you expect to the experience, and people will enjoy different. I'm trying to be diplomatic.
You are. Here's a little bit of the new album from David Lynch. So that happened.
I think it's brilliant.
Did you remix that one?
No.
Oh.
I think I'm with Dan, by the way, that not everything is going to hit you full on that David Lynch does.
Right.
But in general, I'm interested in anything he does, whether it's art or his photography or his writing or his movies or his videos. There's something that I can take away and enjoy about every single piece of that. I just am fascinated with him as well.
Remember, I completely agree. Paulie wore a red shirt.
That was an amazing song. Did you see the video?
I did see the video.
And it was incredible.
It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I like that's why he's amazing, because you know, it was from his films to his music. Not everyone's going to love it, but
right.
that's why it's challenging and interesting. And I think you know, it may not be the album you want to kick back to and you know have a barbecue with. But,
yeah, it's not barbecue music necessarily.
We are talking to the band having a barbecue.
We are talking to the band Bastille here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dan and Kyle are in studio. We're going to be hearing some live music from the guys in just a few minutes. So, Dan, you're writing these songs on your laptop, basically at home. Mm-hmm. And then how do you go about putting the band together? Where do you find your mates?
I'd done a bunch of songs, and then and I'd always sort of wanted it to be a band. And I knew Woody and Will quite well, because we'd been playing together, been doing music together before. And Kyle was a sort of friend who I kept stopping throughout the summer of 2010. We kept bumping into each other at parties, and I kept being like, I was pretty much asking anyone I met who could play an instrument to join the band.
Are you lucky that they turned out to be good?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, Kyle was amazing, and he was just the one that I pursued the most, I think. You know, I'm sure every morning after a party he'd wake up and be like, I'm sure someone was bugging me about a band or something.
Kyle, did you see Dan coming and just hightail it the other way?
No, I don't. It was sort of like, because you know, when you're both in that moment at a house party, and you're like, yeah, no, totally, man. I'll definitely be in your band. It'll be wicked. And then we'll do all these things and it'll be great. And then the next morning, you're like, wow, that's just ridiculous. And then after the 10th time, I woke up and to like a text message. And Dan was like, no, I'm being serious now. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, go on.
It took 10 times before he would text you to say serious.
And let me ask you one more thing before we let you get in the other room. And again, the Bastille, by the way, has a 4-song EP out now, available on iTunes. You can also wait for the long play, which is going to be the first weekend of September, is when Bad Blood, the album from Bastille, is going to be released here in America. You consciously do not have much guitar in your band or on your record, right? Why is that?
Dan can't play guitar, therefore no one's allowed to.
Because I've heard, and I'm no expert, you're the musicians here, I have heard that a guitar is a useful instrument in a band.
Yeah. We've heard that too. And the sort of, ironically, banging on so much about the fact that we don't have any guitars. When we do acoustic sessions like the one we're about to do, we have a guitar. So it's quite embarrassing talking about it so much and then rocking up at radio stations.
But like on the record, there's no electric guitar.
There's only bass guitar on the record. Michael, there's literally no acoustic or electric.
What about all the vocals? What about all the harmonies? Do you do that? I guess we'll find out in a minute.
We try. It's, I mean, it's quite hard to replicate a sort of like
gang vocal or choir.
Yeah, room but we do our best. We do our best.
It seems difficult. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Okay. I mean, don't expect a four-piece choir.
All right. Yeah.
And now I'm nervous.
No pressure at all there, guys.
Don't be. We're happy to have you guys here. We're excited for your success. We love, love, love the record. It is called Bastille. The record is going to be called Bad Blood, again, coming out in about a month or so. And you guys are going to do kind of a stripped-down version of two songs from the record, right? We're going to hear Pompeii, which we've been playing here on K-Rock, and then you've picked out another one for us too, right?
We have, yeah. We're going to play Bad Blood, which is the sort of title track from the album.
Fantastic. Bastille is here. We'll take a break. And right after this, the guys will play live on the world-famous K-Rock.
K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. Bastille is here. They're in the next studio, and they are going to perform live for us. Which song are you going to do first, guys?
We're going to do Pompeii.
Pompeii, the one that we're playing here on K-Rock.
Thanks for playing it.
Of course.
I was left to my own devices. Many days fell away with nothing to show. And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? We were caught up and lost in all of our vices. In your pose as the dust settled around us, and the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this if you close your eyes? Where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? Oh, oh, where do we begin? The rubble or our sins? And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this if you close your eyes? Does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Come on. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That sounded, Dan, you probably thought that was going to suck, but that was really good.
Oh, thanks, man.
Can I ask you a question about the lyrics?
Yes, you can.
What? I listened to this song, I don't know, 10 times yesterday, trying to figure out, how am I going to be an optimist about this? What are those lyrics?
It's, how am I going to be an optimist?
You're not singing that, though. You know that, right?
How am I going to be?
How am I going to be? Okay, I got it. All right.
The band is called Bastille. By the way, they're going to be making their United States television debut on the Conan Show. That's going to be tonight on TBS. If you want to see the guys playing live on your TV, they're also playing at the El Rey Theater on September the 18th. How was the Troubadour last night, you guys?
Yeah, it was good, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun.
That's a crazy small place, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was wicked. I mean, it felt very, like, deserving. You know, we're starting from scratch.
Right.
States. But sure. It was nice. You know, people came. People seemed to clap and stuff.
But you're going to be touring with Muse, right?
We did earlier.
Oh, you already
year.
Did.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. It was.
That must have been frightening.
It was pretty weird playing in stadiums.
I bet it was.
And the lineup was us and then a guy called Dizzy Rascal, who's a sort of a grime rapper from the UK, and then Muse. So it was a pretty eclectic lineup. But you know, it was amazing. And they're Woody's favorite band in the world.
Oh, pretty strong.
Oh, how about that?
And local Devon guys. And so yeah, it was a. Yeah, it was nuts. We never expected to do anything like that. So it was really cool.
Well, a lot of things are happening for you that you didn't expect. The album Bad Blood is going to be released in America the first week of September. The guys from Bastille are here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and you're going to do the title track for us next. Is that right?
Yeah, this one's called Bad Blood.
Love it. Thanks.
Days that bind you together forever, and these little things that bind you forever. All this bad blood here, won't you let it dry? It's been cold for years. Won't you let it lie? Oh, 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 oh. If we only ever looking back, we will drive ourselves insane. As the friendship goes, resentment grows. We will walk our different ways. But those are the days that bind us together forever, and those little things define us forever. All this bad blood here, won't you let it dry? It's been cold for years, won't you let it lie? I don't want to hear about the bad blood anymore. Oh, 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 oh. I don't want to hear you talk about it anymore. Oh, 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 oh. All this bad blood here, won't you let it dry? It's been cold.
Fantastic.
That's great stuff. Again, the band is called Bastille. You should pick up their record. It's available on four songs called Haunt on an EP, available on iTunes right now, also out on CD. Bad Blood, the full length, will be out in September. So glad we had a chance to meet you guys. Thanks so much for coming in and performing. It really sounded great.
Oh, thanks, guys. Cheers for having us.
Thank you.
How dare you?
How dare you?
How
dare us
dare
what? You, sir.
What?
How dare you?
Explain.
It's Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, 20 till 7. We had Andrew Siciliano in.
Host of DirecTV's The Red Zone.
And what that job is basically is they go around. The red zone is considered the 20-yard line to the goal line. And every team that gets into the red zone, they show. So they're cutting from game to game. And we asked him the last time we had him in, you know, what's your backup plan? What if you get sick? Who's gonna juggle all that? And I said I'd be willing to do it. And I think I could really nail it.
Before we talk about what a terrible idea, what a comical, laughable idea that is, aren't you shocked that something as important to DirecTV as the red zone does not have a backup player? Don't you think they should have a guy who goes in there and does a mock run-through just so he's familiar with it? So in the event that Andrew Siciliano wakes up one day and he's, you know, he's got the poopies or something, they have somebody to put in there?
I'm saying, yes, of course that's ridiculous, but that's where I come
crazy.
In.
Crazy. But why? Look, what makes you, you can barely keep one show straight. You're only doing this show and you're distracted. You can barely pay attention.
How dare you?
I mean,
this
what
is
you
me
think,
paying attention.
What makes you think you can handle the DirecTV red zone?
Because you just go from game to game. It's not difficult.
Right, but you've got a
hey,
guy.
Hey, the Colts are in the red zone. Let's watch.
That's right. It. You're talking on national television while you have a guy in your head telling you which screens to go to, filling you in on facts, telling you who's hurt, where they are in the game. I mean, it's a million things to juggle.
All right, we're going
to
split the screens. We got two games for you now. If you want to watch the left one, it's on channel 713. Boom! Boom!
Yeah,
shakalaka.
It's easy to do when you're not on TV and you're not doing it for reels and you're not doing it with seven television screens all with different football games on it.
Listen to me. Hey, we're going to split the screens. If you'd like to watch the Colts, they're on channel 716. Boom!
All right.
Well, Nailed it!
I was hoping that I would get you to just admit the folly of your idea. Now I have to bring out the big guns and tell you that we do have the audition that you recorded for the DirecTV Red Zone.
Well,
yeah, the K-Rock microphones were there, and we actually we have the tape of when you applied to be the backup.
So you'll
guy.
Hear, you'll hear that I'm the guy.
We'll hear.
Okay, let's start the game. The Buffalo Bills playing the Damiano Dolphins, and they're in the red zone. Oh, let's fumble. Fumble in the touch. It's touchdown. Touchdown. Okay, next game is New England Patriots and the New York Nets. And the New York Jets. Field goal. 3-7. Touchdown. 7 points for them. Oh, next game we go Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. Fourth down. They're going for it. Fourth down. Going for it. That was the first down. Never mind. First down. Go. Now San Francisco 90-40s. The Seahawks saddle. And the, oh, it's all tied up. We're going for overtime. No, it's halftime. I'm going now. Carolina Panthers, so Atlanta Falcons, and it's a 3-point game, and they score touchdown, and the Falcons score touchdown, and now it's 17-09 together, military time. Washington Redskins, Philadelphia Eagles, stupid, absurd game. I'm going to look at that game. Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, and they are, it's our game's all over. They're all on the party bus.
I was wrong. I would watch that. I would never stop watching that.
I'm your guy.
My Strange Addiction on TLC. Boy, do they feature some effed up people.
I love how it. They find them. Do they just put out the call and people call them?
I don't know. At the end of every show, they say, if you or somebody you know has, contact us. So, yeah, they're definitely scouring, looking for people.
But the real question is, why would you? Like, if you do something really bizarre, like that girl that drank blood or the other girl licks her cat, why would you go on TV and tell everyone? And
about That's half, a great point.
And about half the time, they say, all my friends don't know.
Right.
It's a desperate cry for help.
I guess it is. Well, this girl snorts baby powder. That's what she does.
Don't get that. Now, there's so many better things to snort.
Is this because she can't afford cocaine? She wants to pretend she's doing cocaine?
Maybe we'll that's find how out. It started.
We'll find out. But it does start with some very upbeat, nice, lovely music. Snap along if you know it.
My name is Jay. I'm 28 years old, and I'm addicted to snorting baby powder.
She's addicted to snorting baby powder. She's 28.
Is that a track from the new Daft Punk album, by the way?
That is not, no.
Sounds like it.
Here's a little more info.
Jay's addiction to snorting baby powder began 16 years ago. She started by rubbing the powder on her body.
One day, obviously, it just went from putting it close to my nose to actually shoving it up in my nose.
So she likes the smell of it. That's it.
Okay.
That's why. She just likes the smell of it. She used to put it on her body, but it wasn't strong enough.
So she snorts it to get the smell into her nose.
Now,
basically,
when you say snort, you think of maybe a little bit of cocaine and maybe a straw.
Yeah.
No. Giant spoon, heaping spoonful full, and just crams it into her nose and then inhales.
She can't smell anything at that point.
No.
But doesn't that just go down the back of her throat if she's putting up her nose?
Yes, it does at times.
Doesn't it dry up your sinuses?
Yes, it does. Yes to all of the above.
We're coming up with a lot of reasons why she shouldn't be doing
it. Yes, you are.
When I get home, I can't wait to get to my baby powder.
Here's my favorite part.
I do it until I can't take it anymore.
So she, wow, she starts snorting it, and the end game of the snorting is, I just physically can't possibly snort one more time.
So she's, I'm going to drink until I'm passed out. That's,
yes,
what she's basically doing.
Passing
except with baby
out
powder,
will stop me from this because, right, I will continue it until. So she snorts baby powder until that point.
Oh, my God.
I love her so much. Now, is she super fat?
I wouldn't say super.
Okay.
She's not. No, you know what? I would say she's okay.
Wow.
Considering what you would expect a girl who has snorted. Well, let me have the announcer tell you how much.
In the last 16 years, Jay has snorted over 1,800 pounds of baby powder.
1,800 pounds.
This is like a pricey habit if you're snorting that much, right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, is she going through a container like every other day?
Costco. Maybe? Go to Costco, I bet.
1,800 pounds.
All right. Does this, I'm really having trouble understanding physically how this all works. So it goes up her nose and then goes, it doesn't ever end up in her stomach. Like, how does it get out of her body, I guess, is my question.
I don't have the answer to that, and they didn't answer it either. She all just right. snorts it, and then it somehow gets
it
absorbed into the body.
Yeah, where does it go? That's crazy. That's what, another reason why I thought she might be super fat.
Here is the scariest sentence.
But baby powder isn't confined to Jay's nose.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow. Visioning other openings.
How does this story end?
Yeah, right? This is what I thought when I heard it. I was like, what? Guesses, anyone?
Well, I mean, we all know what the options are.
A few other
I hope it's not in her eyes.
Places.
Wouldn't go in her ears.
Right.
It's got to be below the belt, right?
Thank God that's not what they're talking about.
She snorts it so much, her apartment is covered in a white dust.
It gets everywhere. It's all on my headboard, on my dressers. It's on my refrigerator, my countertop, my floor.
She takes you through the whole apartment, and it is literally covered in white powder.
She acts like she's such a victim.
Yeah.
I don't know what to
what
do.
What can I do? It's everywhere.
What about the warnings on the back of the bottle? There are warnings that say not to be taken internally. You know,
okay.
On every bottle there are.
Right.
Well, she sized that up and she has an answer.
I've seen the back of baby powder that said, you know, it could cause breathing problems, but I don't have any concerns.
I don't have any concerns. It could cause breathing problems, but I'm cool.
So you know, far, she, I can still breathe.
She could just snort it in the bathtub if she wanted easy cleanup and not have the rest of the apartment get all.
Oh, God, no. She does it anywhere and everywhere. She
all the time.
She doesn't
and
want
she's
to.
Never had a man over to her apartment, so that's not a concern.
Correct. But she does have a blind friend who she tells that she's snorting baby powder. They always try to get somebody, to, you know, for her to confess to.
You don't have any children. What are you using it on?
I like the smell of it. And I also put it in my nose.
Wait a second. You put it in your nose?
Yes, exactly.
All of a sudden, she's Thurston Howell III from Gilligan's Island.
Yes, exactly.
So, of course, like they all do, they get talked into going to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And here's the doctor's one fear.
One of the biggest concerns I had was if she aspirates enough, she can go into her lungs, and then she can die instantly.
She could die instantly. There's that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea.
There's the dying instantly part that scares the doctor. And then there's also the, is it talc? Or talcum,
right.
That can cause lung cancer. That they're also a little bit worried about. So he takes an x-ray, and it comes back okay. Her lungs come back okay.
All right, those warnings are BS.
That's what I'm...
You can
no,
do
I'm
that
1,800
much.
Pounds.
Then there's no problem.
I guess it's not getting down into her lungs, but he does tell her that it's ruining her sinuses.
So there was no significant findings to show this has caused any serious damage.
But please, Jay, don't be confused. The last thing I want you to do is take the message home that your exam today was normal, because that couldn't be further from the truth.
All right, what's her answer? Is she going to keep doing it, or is she going to stop because she realizes it's hazardous for her health?
I don't see any problem with it.
Yeah, I think she keeps on trucking.
After 16 years of doing this, I'm needing baby powder. I know I'm going to continue doing this.
There you go.
There's our girl. There's our girl.
There you go. And I'm addicted.
You snort that baby powder, girlfriend.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show live from Fullerton. It's our Miss Double December 2014.
Who will wear the crown to represent the Kevin and Bean Show as Miss Double December 2014? In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be hearing from Desiree, Raina, Tawny, and Jasmine. They are group number one that Ralph will be interviewing on stage.
And I'll tell you, we're starting to look at the voting now because we only have less than an hour before we cut off the voting and start tabulating. And the voting is very, very close amongst of like six of the girls. So
wow.
If you've got a favorite, you might want to get your vote in now.
Thousands and thousands of people voting, by the way, this morning. And it is still open, as Ralph said, for just a few minutes. You know, we are winding down the calendar year of 2013. That's why we're here for the pageant. And this is the time of year where we like to kind of look back on some of the things that have happened on our show over the year. And this is one of my favorite segments that I look forward to every year.
I love it, too.
No, you don't.
How many people are excited that it's our time for our annual look at the top 10 moments with on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Yes.
Now,
why do people like it so much when we screw up?
I don't know. I don't know, but thank God they do, because that's about half the year is us screwing up on the radio. So I look forward to it every year. Now, I should say going into this, because we've not unveiled these before, Kevin is the undisputed world champion of Moments with.
That is true.
However, having said that, I feel like in 2013, I challenged him for the crown. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to shake out.
I mean, you brought it. Don't get me wrong, but come on.
I mean, I do still feel like I'm the Clippers and you're the Lakers, like I'm getting close, but you may still be the champion, but
Kevin,
I don't know.
Kevin still has the banners hanging in the studio.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Kevin is definitely the champ. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's count down the top 10 Kevin and Bean moments with for 2013. And at number 10, well, look, it's Ralph Garman.
No.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Fascinating life, a legendary... I was going to say statistician, but that's not right. A strategitarian? Nope, that's not right.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Wow, I was extra drunk that morning.
That was impressive, Ralph. Well done.
Thank you. All right, moving forward. At number 9, here's the first appearance of the top 10 this year from our man Kevin.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
See, it's a good thing. That's it. That's good old personal... You know what I'm saying.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Hail to the king!
Kevin, you may not want to stand up and bow just yet. I get a feeling you'll be standing up a lot.
Could be a long day.
Yeah.
At number 8... Oh, it's Kevin again.
Oh.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Dude, I'm losing money here.
It's 20 for a full side per you know what I mean.
Our second moment win.
All right.
Can I try that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Wow. What, thank you, my people. What goes through your mind when you go down that rabbit hole, Kevin?
I swear to God, now, like word two, I start hearing the music and the whole, thing put together. I hear you guys laughing. Ralph's usually giving me the eyes like, oh, my God, he's going to fall.
All right, at number 7, here's a Bean moment with.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Remember, she no longer does those 10 most celebrity fascinating celebrities interview shows?
Sure. She doesn't do that anymore, that's for sure.
Hey, what's that called again?
That was a moment with Bean.
Ah, good times.
Yeah.
At number 6, it's Kevin again.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa.
And number four, ladies and gentlemen, for 2013.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
You remember that one, Lucy, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
I just met her.
Number five, halfway through the top 10 moments with for 2013. Well, look, it's Kevin.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And I would never have recognized his face had I not seen this Crossing Lines. Like, I mean, I recognize his face, but not the name. I didn't know his name. Fichtner.
That was wow. A Moment with Kevin.
Let's move on to something else.
Sure, I got something else for you. Number four, it's Kevin. Oh.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Are there any things that I've changed my mind in the time since 2013 and with the time you are? Could I try that again?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's not number one.
It is amazing that we still have three more to go.
The two recurring themes in Kevin's moments are, can I try that again, and you know what I mean. Those are the two recurring themes.
All right, we're getting near the cream of the crop here. At number three, I'm back. Here's A Moment with Bean.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
Because in a way, it kind of looked like, well, at least all is ends that, you know, whatever that old expression is about all ends that wells or however, you know what I mean.
Awesome. Are you trying to say all's well that ends well?
Thank yes. you, Bean.
That was A Moment with Bean.
We are going down the rabbit hole here. It's a miracle this show is still on the air, right, you guys?
Ridiculous. It's a miracle anyone listens. You guys really are too drunk for your own good.
Yeah, that's right. All right. I knew that I had a particularly strong year. There I was at number three, and it looks like I'm back at number two.
Wow.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin? Matt and Trey, thank you. This is like
Matt and May from now on.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Yeah, my personal favorite, I think.
Good old Trat and May,
Trat
right?
Trat and May.
All right, once again, by the way, for the 100th year in a row, Lisa May has no moments with, by the way.
She's but I too think perfect. I won last year or the year before.
Ralph barely represented with just one in the top 10 this year.
Correct.
Let's find out who is the moment with for 2013. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is at number one.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
A lot of people pay attention to a TV show if they're in love with it. Let's say you watch Homeland every week. You know exactly what's going on. You know the characters. There's more people that sort of pay attention to pop culture and sort of have seen you around. And when you play roles like this where you're in Iranian intelligence and you're considered the enemy and a possible terrorist, do you get the double look on the street from people who don't know where they know you from and perhaps are trying to figure out, you know, who you are, where they've seen you, and they look at you with that stink eye?
Well, that's a dumb question.
All right.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, the champion of the world, K-Rock's Kevin. And the pageant continues live from Fullerton. We'll be right back at the world-famous K-Rock.
Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelor and this weekend's Miss America pageant, by the way. He's got to be meeting a lot of ladies in his job, right?
I would think so.
Although, is he a single dude?
Although, if he's hosting The Bachelor, crazy.
They are. They're crazy. All crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, he joins us coming up also. Ralph Garman's tribute to the great Schulhauser later this hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, let's talk about Gillionaire, I'm not sure how you say his name. You guys remember the song we played last year called I'm the Best?
How
yes.
could we not?
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
I love him so much, by the way.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if I think he's awesome or do I think he's so bad that that makes it entertaining.
Oh, I think so bad it's entertaining.
Yeah.
There's no way he's awesome. I mean, there's no way you're entertained by that for real other than ironically and funny, right?
Yeah, maybe so. But he definitely has a way with a melody. He certainly makes it his own.
He's come out with a new song now, and you can see the video at kevinandbean.com. And I would suggest you go there because the video is pretty spectacular as well.
Okay.
And the song is called Dem Pants, and it's a celebration of women with curves who wear tight pants.
Oh.
And he does love damn pants.
Fisher Man Gill. I say skirt anytime I see a girl with curves. Skirt. It's like you driving when on the street with curves. Skirt.
Snap if you know it.
Go ahead, I'm finger snapping. It's like swag time.
It's swag time.
Girl, you got them pants.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Working in them
girl,
pants.
Girl, you working hard.
Skirt. You got me. Girl, you working hard.
Skirt. Skirt.
You got me. Got them pants.
Skirt.
Skirt. Now, let me ask you this question, because I find it funny because it's so bad. What do you think he's thinking? Does he think this is really good?
I don't know.
Is he proud of it?
I think
he is just effing around?
I think he is. Look, I've heard worse songs on Kiss FM.
I don't know. This is a tough one.
Working in them pants.
Girl, you working hard.
You got me. Girl, you working hard. You got me. Them pants. You working in them pants.
Girl, you working hard.
You got me.
It's pretty catchy.
Girl, you working hard.
Skirt.
You got me.
Skirt.
That's the thing. His stuff Skirt. Is catchy.
It is catchy. I mean, it definitely has a great melody. And here's the beautiful thing about the age in which we live is he doesn't need to go out and get a record deal and representation and get on the radio.
Because he
and
couldn't.
Stuff like that. No, but what I'm saying is a guy like Jillionaire, I'm on his video page right now. Right. He's got 112,000 hits on Dem Pants already. Okay. And this is brand new. He'll have twice that in a couple of weeks. I mean, he is going to have an impact. People are going to find him and like him.
Take it easy. I mean, find and like again. I think really for fun factor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Kanye came up with this with a beat.
I'm not listening to it at home.
Boom, 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 boom.
You know what I'm talking about. Them black pants, they fit your booty.
Skirt.
I'm in a trance, so Skirt. Thank your manager and your owner. Them pants you working in is giving us all bonus
swag.
So here's the tip, just a tip.
Skirt.
Them pants are so damn tight, I think they gonna rip. And when I see you in them, make my record skip, 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 skip. And if your booty talk, it will sound like my lips when it go.
What's happening?
I don't know what's happening there. I don't understand that.
Underwater.
Okay. Now you're going off.
Wait a minute. Hold on. How can you now not be interested? That's the best part.
What's happening now? He's just gargling at this point.
Right.
Girl, you Swag. Got them pants. You working in them pants.
Girl, you working hard.
You got me. Girl, you working hard. You got me. Them pants.
Swag.
He threw in a skirt and a swag.
And a swag.
Yeah, that's the
within remix. Like 4 seconds.
You but working you- in.
You know what's going to happen is at some point today, no matter how much you hate listening to this, is you're going to be driving down the yep. street or sitting at home and you're going to be thinking, pants or skirt.
Girl, you got them pants.
Them pants. Girl, you working hard. You got me.
Skirt.
Girl, you working hard. You got me.
I think I've heard enough.
Pants.
Bow, 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 bow.
There it is.
Bow. Come on, that's the
well.
Hit.
He's got. I'm the best.
Yeah.
He's got Rifle Burst. Remember Rifle
Burst?
Oh,
Rifle
Burst
is
big, big hit that we love so much. Now yeah. he's got pants. He's on his way, man. He's
working
on his
way. In pants. You working hard. You got me.
He doesn't change up the lyrics a lot.
No.
From the beginning to the end, it's not. There's not a real story arc.
No. You mostly get what's going on here in the first minute.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know if you listen to sports talk radio in town, but Pat O'Brien, who used to be, you know, a sportscaster for a long time, has a show with a guy named Steve Hartman, I think. And we got tipped off to the fact that Pat was spinning a little. He was going a little off the rails.
What happened?
He was upset about Twitter followers who called him a has-been.
And a drunk.
And a drunk.
Called him, right?
Yes.
Oh, really?
A has-been and a drunk. And he really was not taking it well.
But aren't sports fans the worst?
Yes, of course they are. They hate you if you don't like their team or say something bad about their team. Of course they are. They're even more opinionated than regular listeners. But here's what I'll say to a guy like Pat, who has had an outstanding career in sports, radio and television, and entertainment radio and television for many, many years. You're going to have people out there who aren't going to like what you're doing.
Pat says, and they say you're a has-been and a drunk. Now, I'm neither. A book coming out, a TV show coming out. I got a big radio show here, speaking tours. And then he starts going into, now, if you want to say it to my face, you know, I've only got a couple of them that do this, but if you want to say it to my face, I have thick skin. But I'm at the corner of Sepulveda and Ventura, and it'll just be me.
Oh, he didn't really say, where I'm at. Come on down. I'm going to fight you.
He did. He said, if the guy who said you're drunk and has been, I'm at Sepulveda and Ventura. Come down any day right on the corner. Just come down. It'll just be me. And then he went on Sepulveda and Ventura right at the corner. You know what I look like, and say it to my face. There's a hospital nearby. I won't take you there, but you'll be laying on the ground. I'm not kidding. And Hartman knows how I operate. I've taken guys down here.
Oh, my God.
What is going on with Pat O'Brien?
I don't know.
Hey,
I can't
Kevin
even.
How's it going, guys?
Pat, what's happening? What are you doing here?
How you doing, guys?
What are you doing here?
Well, I heard you talking about me. And, you know, I got pretty thick skin, you know.
Well, you clearly don't.
Just ask Hartman. He knows. He knows
right,
how I roll.
But you're trying to fight with internet trolls. What's the point of that, Pat? Why don't you just concentrate
on the
listeners
you have? I don't like people saying
have.
Those things about me. I'm tired of reading it.
Stop
reading it. Good.
First of all, I have a lot of Twitter followers.
Of course.
A lot of followers.
Yeah,
a lot of people follow me.
I'm sure. Right.
I'm a huge hit on Twitter.
Okay.
I got a book coming out.
Okay, yeah.
About how many Twitter followers I
have. Is that right?
That's what the book's about.
Not a very good book.
The list of the names of people who follow me on Twitter.
Did you know there's a block button that you could actually just...
Add POB Pat O'Brien, by the way. And I've got a speaking tour.
Right.
I've got a mall tour.
You don't have to justify yourself.
I'm opening an auto parts shop. I'll be doing a grand opening of that. I got a big radio show. Big, huge radio show.
Okay, take it easy.
AM. Pat, AM radio, you know.
Yeah, you're right. On the air.
Future,
your show is
future
on the air.
Future radio is AM.
Now, Pat,
you know, Johnny Depp once told me, a lot of people listen to the radio, but AM's where it's at, pal.
Did he tell you that?
He told me that.
Yeah.
We were playing a pickup basketball game at Kevin Costner's house.
Right.
Costner and I hang out
any names.
Quite a bit. We had a pretty good shot, by the way.
Listen, Pat, here's the point. You're 65 years old or whatever you are.
Yeah.
You should well have grown out of, you said something mean about me, let's fight.
I'm in the best shape of my life, though.
I believe it. But this kid is probably 7, and you don't want to be hitting a 7-year-old.
I don't like hearing you guys say that. And if you want to meet me, Sepulveda Ventura, I'll be there. You know what I look like.
We don't want to fight. We're right in front of us. Yeah.
There's a hospital near there, by the way.
Right.
I won't take you. But you'll end up there. Just ask Hartman. He knows.
We don't.
Hartman knows.
Hartman's not here, so who are you pointing at?
Hartman, over there. Hartman.
There's no Hartman here.
You know where Hartman is?
No.
Sepulveda and Ventura. You'll see him right there next to me. He'll be watching when I lay you guys out.
Pat, maybe.
I'm not afraid of you, Giant Bean and Big Head Kevin. I'm not worried about you.
Nobody wants to fight with you, Pat.
I'll take you out. I'm taking guys out here.
What are you talking about?
What does that mean, you've taken guys out?
Hey,
what
you
does
know,
that
Lisa,
mean?
You're not immune to this either. I will drop you. I will punch you right
We're
in your lady
hit.
Face.
No, come on.
I will.
Nobody needs
you know,
to get hit
Helena
here.
Bottom Carter once said to me,
Pat, stop dropping
Pat,
names.
You can really hit. I punched her in the face once.
Why
later
would you
out.
Punch her in the face?
Because she said something bad about me on Twitter. Well, and I'm tired of reading it.
You said you had thick skin. It seems
First
like you...
First of all, I have a lot of Twitter followers.
You already said that. Yeah,
yeah, you mentioned
But
that.
They say
okay.
You're a has-been and a drunk.
Right.
And I say I'm neither. I'm a used-to-be-drunk and a has-been now.
What?
Huh? Ask me again. I'll drop you. I will knock you out.
I don't understand what you said, but I'm not interested...
Ask Hartman. He knows.
Where's Hartman? I don't know how to contact Hartman.
You know...
What exactly do you want me to...
I want you to ask Hartman.
Ask Hartman.
Everybody ask Hartman.
What does it mean that you've taken people out there?
Laid them out. You know how it is.
You getting in fights?
Ah,
at work?
It was Muhammad Ali who taught me how to punch.
Oh, stop okay. it.
And he said to
Listen.
Me... Well, he didn't say anything. He's all shaky. He's not right. understanding what he's saying.
All right.
But
We have to go, Pat.
I'm the best shape of my life.
That's
not funny. I almost died.
When?
Right.
Why did you almost die? What do you mean?
Talking about your drug habit, right?
Oh, yeah. That too.
Oh,
yeah. But I meant on television when I was on The Insider. I died every night.
Oh, I see.
No need to fight anyone. Bands. That's what we're saying. Just do your show and enjoy the people who like
you. I'm just tired of it. That's all.
Well, stop reading it.
No,
you
I can't.
Have to, but you don't have to read it. And you
but
certainly
it's
don't have
about
to.
Me. And look, here's what happened.
All right.
Johnny Carson once said,
"Okay,
me,
listen, we got to go.
You're a fascinating guy, Pat." And I said, "I know. I can't stop reading about myself."
Our friend Rob Zombie is back with a brand new album and brand new movie called Lords of Salem. He's going to be joining us 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin Bean Show. And by the way, speaking of an hour from now, we need to play that new Daft Punk song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Get Lucky, it's called. So we got that for you coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show, too. First, though, Jenny McCarthy was doing an interview. I think we talked about it at the time a couple of weeks ago, but now it is brought into sharp focus by something that just happened in the news this week, and that is bad one-night stands. She'd been dating for a guy for 7 years, guys, and broke up. And after a significant amount of time had gone by, she decided, hey, I'm really horny. So she hooked up with some guy. He took her back to his place, and they made sweet, sweet love. Which, by the way, forget what you think about Jenny McCarthy now. That's a pretty good deal.
To Jenny, it was sweet, sweet love.
You don't know about what to
the man. Oh, we do know about the man.
Well, he got up the next morning, Lisa, and said, hey, there's a McDonald's. I live across the street from the McDonald's. I'll run over and get us some breakfast. And she said, that's fantastic. I'll wait for you.
Uh-huh.
And she waited. And she continued to wait. And an hour went by. And then two. And then three. And then finally at four, she left his apartment because it was clear he wasn't coming back.
Oh, my God.
She looked out the window and the McDonald's was closed. And it was his house.
Oh, that's humiliating.
It was his house. Oh. He abandoned his house.
For all we know, he got on a plane, changed his name, flew to another country, started a new life, and just abandoned all of his possessions just so he didn't have to have post-coital conversation with Jenny McCarthy,
aww,
which I think we could all understand if we've seen her show on VH1. But so that's a bad one-night stand. So that's thing one. And then thing two that was just in the news 2 days ago, I think we have news footage, news audio on this, is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard.
And then we're going to take your calls, bad one-night stands, 1-800-520-1067. They gone wrong. You remember Eddie K. Thomas, I'm sorry, from American Pie?
Finch. From the American Pie movies, absolutely, yeah.
A woman's in custody tonight after barricading herself inside an actor's Hollywood Hills home, prompting a standoff with police. The house on Hargrave Drive is believed to be owned by a star of American Pie.
LAPD SWAT was forced to deploy tear gas into this home. The woman, who police say was armed with a large kitchen knife, surrendered peacefully.
Suspect was a guest overnight and this morning was asked to leave, refused to leave. Became agitated, armed herself with a knife, threatened the owner, and then began to damage the property inside.
Detectives are tight-lipped tonight about the extent of the relationship between the female suspect and the homeowner, who is believed to be American Pie actor Eddie K. Thomas.
He met her that night and took her home.
Took her home, and I'm sure they had a good time up to a point, and then he was done, and maybe she was hoping for more.
Maybe she didn't have a ride.
The next morning he asked her to leave,
and
right?
He said, out, get out.
Okay, all right. It was a great time. I had a great time with you. I got to work, though.
Well, no, he's Eddie K. Thomas. He doesn't have to go to work.
That's
but maybe
true.
He wanted to go to Starbucks or something.
I'm just saying he wants her out of the house.
Right.
Yeah. At which point she grabs a knife. Now that's bad. SWAT shows up. When SWAT shows up and you don't walk out with your hands behind your head, there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
We want to take your phone calls, by the way, of one-night stands gone wrong. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Imagine how surprised he was when it turned violent, when she ended up with a knife and he had to escape from his own house and call 911. I mean, I would love to have been a fly on the wall and heard the conversation before that happened. So that was fun, right? And then she's like, yeah, I had a good time. All right, then. He's doing all the clothes he can think of. All right, then. Well, great. Well,
great. Should I call you?
Should I call? Yeah. No, I'm fine. I'm just going to sit right here on the couch. Well, you know, I got to go do that thing that I told you about. So let's keep in touch, okay? No, I'm fine. I'm right here. And it just goes on and on and on to the point where he's like, what am I going to do now?
Come on. You need to know the rules of one-night stands.
How humiliating to have to call the police,
too. If it's a one-night stand for him, it's a one-night stand for you as well. So
yeah.
I don't know that you're in a position to be a squatter in his apartment and stay there until SWAT comes.
I think if you're a famous person, you have to be really careful with those.
Don't go to Mel's Diner.
Crazy
don't pick up girls at Mel's Diner.
Yeah, maybe don't do that.
Is that the point?
All right. Well, let's take a couple of calls. 1-800-520-1067. I don't know that we've ever had this topic on the air before, but I am fascinated with one night stands gone bad. Why don't we start with Amanda? Amanda is on line one, and she joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. There are an awful lot of ways that one night stands can go bad. They don't all involve the Hollywood police coming in and the SWAT team. Amanda, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
This actually just happened Monday night. I met a friend of a friend, and we agreed to get together and meet up at a hotel room, and I guess this guy was really nervous, and we met at the bar, and he was drinking a lot. By the time we got to the hotel room, he went into the bedroom, and he passed out because he was so drunk. I ended up having to leave.
What an idiot!
He was too nervous, so he kept drinking?
Oh, God.
Yeah, he said, just meet me at the bar. I'm having some drinks to, you know, kind of get myself full, ready for the big night, and you know we're hitting it off, and he was kind of slurring a little bit, and I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, let's go up to the room. And I was like, sure. And you know, he laid down, and I turned around, and he was out.
How nervous can you be? I mean, it almost sounds like it was a done deal already by the time you get up to the room, right?
That's what I thought.
Well, yeah, you were a sure thing. Now, had you guys met before? It wasn't a blind date, right?
No, it wasn't. We met like once or twice before.
Yeah, so he already knew what you looked like, and he was looking forward to it. He just overserved himself. That's hilarious. Did you ever give him another shot, or was that it?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
that's
pretty bad.
Did he pay you before he passed out?
Kevin.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Amanda. Appreciate it. Let's go to Brian. Brian is on line two here on the Kevin and Bean Show, taking your calls on one night stands gone awry at 1-800-520-1067. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
What happened?
So I was on a Tinder date about a month ago, you know, that app Tinder. Met this girl up in L.A., had a lot of drink, came back to her place in Venice. I'm down in Newport Beach. I got to be at work at 4:30. I wake up in a puddle in her bed, and I'm like, okay, this is sweet. I just, you know, urinated myself. No, she woke up and said that she did it.
Oh, she wet the bed?
It was terrible.
Was she 11?
She was 19. I'm 29, so a little bit younger, but still.
Now,
but listen, Brian thought he did it at first. So,
right, yeah.
Like, it sounds
like they were both drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
My boxes were completely drenched. And
Brian, I have to ask, was that a deal breaker for you, or did you go out with her again?
Totally. I haven't talked to her since. It's really bad.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I would think if she's super drunk or something like that, it probably doesn't happen all the time. It could just be a one-time deal, right?
Well, the way that she said it was, no, that was me. You know, like, she'd done it before, so.
Gotcha. She's dumb, too, because if you're already claiming it, she lets you have it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow, I can't believe you did that.
Why wrestle so you bad. For that? All right, yeah. Thanks for the call. Let's do, these are awesome. Let's do Rob. Rob is on line three here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob, thank you for calling Bad One Night Stands. Go.
About 6 months ago, went out on a date with a girl. We ended up going back to her place. We had a little bit of fun. I left her place at about 4:00 in the morning. Next day at work, my phone just doesn't stop ringing. I then have 15 voicemails from the girl.
15 voicemails?
Whoa. Yes.
Were they getting increasingly angry as they went along?
No, she was getting to the point where she was asking me to marry her and begging me to marry
what?
Her.
What?
Did you get any kind of a crazy vibe off of her the night that you spent together?
I did not. I had no idea this was going to come. She seemed perfectly normal. We just enjoyed each other's company, and then, boom, the crazy went
We've
off.
We've got to get married.
How did you leave it with her when you left after the night together? Was it super casual and cordial? Hey, had a great time. Talk to you later.
Exactly. I had no clue. She's like, yeah, it was great. We should get together again sometime.
And the next thing you know, starting at 7 a.m., your phone starts ringing. Yeah. All right. So then what happens after all the phone calls on day one?
Well, so I don't return any of the phone calls. I'm a little freaked out. I then start getting a barrage of text messages, and over 4 days, without me responding to one, I had almost 250 text messages from this girl.
Wow. Dude, you have to put those out in a book.
Desperate much? Desperate much?
What could she say in 250 text messages?
It got to the point where it was, why aren't you responding? Hello, 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 hello.
Yeah, now
hello.
She's getting mad. Now I'm getting worried if I'm you.
Exactly. And then to top it all off, about a month ago, I got a couple more text messages from her asking, hey, how are you doing?
And you didn't respond to that either, right?
I didn't respond to anything.
Good.
Wow, that's amazing. That almost sounds like bunny boiling on the stove time, dude. So good luck to you. Thank you very much for calling. All right, we got to take a break. Seth, thank you. You hang on, Seth. Aaron, you hang on. Everybody else, please give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. This is one of those phone-in topics that you're listening to and you're going, thank God it's not me, right? For a change, it's not me. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about one-night stands gone wrong here on the Kevin and Bean Show, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Seth here in a second, and I'll read this tweet from a listener who got in touch with us at Kevin and Bean. Last thing I remember was her being on top of me, and then I woke up with a note tied to my penis with the phone number to Alcoholics Anonymous on it. How's that for a one-night stand?
He's really passed out if she's putting a note on his penis and he doesn't notice.
Exactly. All right. Seth, welcome to the program, my friend. What's going on?
Thank you, Kevin, Bean. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Seth. Oh,
we'll change your voice there.
No, I tell you what, on my bucket list, I'm saying that in person.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can make that happen.
Lisa,
very
like
prominently
it.
Placed on my bucket list.
That'll be your next bad one-night stand story.
Or mine.
All right, Seth,
what happened?
Stay tuned,
sports fans. Stay tuned. I met a girl at the Phoenix airport, said she was from Chicago, gave me her number. She was absolutely hotter than fish grease. She says, if you ever get to Chicago, call me and we'll go out. Well, I found a reason the next month to get to Chicago, as you may assume.
Mm-hmm.
So we're chilling in her 22nd story condo and the 2 o'clock in the morning and someone is pounding on the door outside. All of a sudden she says, oh, God, it's my husband.
Oh,
crap.
A very, very famous defensive lineman for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, no.
Wow.
6'6", 320-pound guy full of Jack Daniels. On the other side of the door, pounding, saying, I know you got a man in there, and I'm going to rip him apart.
Did you jump out the window? There's no back door. Did you go out the window?
Well, 22nd floor, sports fans.
Worth it. By the way, Lisa, you don't know that there was no back door. You just know that he had no way out of the apartment.
Do you live on the ground floor at all? Could I ask that real quick?
No, you can't. Finish your story.
Anyway, I had to do math, which you're not supposed to have to do math at 2 o'clock in the morning on a first date. I had to decide, you know, what my odds were, survival out the window, 22nd floor, landing in that snowbank down there, or letting this guy have his way with me and hope that I survive. So she said, don't worry about it. Security always gets here before he breaks down the door.
Oh, my God. Wow, she's done
this
before.
Happened many times.
Always was the word that really kind of gave me a little pause.
So what happened?
The security came and got him. Literally, the door was coming off the hinges.
Did you ever see her again?
Are you kidding me? She saw my taillights, and that was it. It was a done deal. But that was literally the closest brush with death I think I've had in.
Wow. All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. I'm surprised a guy using hotter than fish grease could pick up a hot chick at an airport. I'm just amazing to me. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron is on line 6, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Aaron, thank you for calling. What happened to you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Aaron.
Bad one night stands. I went to a wedding in Tahoe, and the night before the wedding, we all went out drinking, and I met this guy, took him back to my room, and in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I heard a peeing noise. And he was peeing in the middle of the room, just on one of the blankets.
What?
Yeah.
How far away from the bathroom?
Like right next to the bathroom. There was like a sink in the bathroom, and then like on the outside.
Was he just super, super drunk and didn't know the difference between the blanket and the toilet?
Yeah, and I tried waking him up, and he was just like, no, no, no. And then,
wow.
And then, that was it. And then he went back to bed, and I had to take him home in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Geez.
You're the most patient person ever.
Seriously. Yeah, I want to have a one-night stand with you, Aaron. Anything goes. Thank you for the call. We very much appreciate it. Let's go to Adina. Adina is on line 3. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for holding. What happened?
Hi, yes. Good morning. I was studying abroad in Spain, which you already know is bad. Bad things happen when you're abroad.
Sure.
And met a nice guy, had a good time. Wake up the next morning to his girlfriend pounding on the door, screaming in different languages. And he told me basically just to wait while he dealt with it. And
so you were at his place, and then his girlfriend was knocking on the door? Okay.
Yeah, in a place I didn't know, of course.
And what does dealt with it mean?
Dealt it just like they were fighting and arguing. Obviously, they speak Spanish, but other languages, too. So they're going back and forth, and I have no idea what's going on. He just told me to be quiet and just wait while he talked to her.
Right.
He left. I don't know what he said or did. And then I had to wait until, you know, he got ready so that he could drive me back to where he was staying. Very awkward. Never saw
him
again.
Wow. Definitely awkward. So yeah. what have we learned from all these stories? Thank you, Adina. We appreciate the call. Is it you got to have an exit strategy up front?
Yeah.
Maybe you just leave right after. Maybe there's no pillow talk. Maybe there's no wait until the morning. Maybe you should just get the hell out of there.
Just offer to get McDonald's.
Or can I get you a glass of water or something and then run?
Just go.
And then just don't come back.
Run, right, don't walk.
Our friend Brandon Boyd, along with his friend Brendan O'Brien, they are in Sons of the Sea. They are making their K-Rock debut in our studios, coming up in about 20 minutes or so, talking about the new album in stores available for download today, and they'll be performing live. Very excited. Have a lot of respect for both of those guys. That's coming up. First, though, Ralph, you've got a new game for us. I'm very, very thrilled to play this one.
Well, you know, we've had much success with our game Chloe or Snooki, where you have to decide who tweeted what.
Yeah, tough game.
And we also did another one. What was the other Twitter game we did?
Well, we had Kanye or Diddy at one time.
Right.
We've had a couple of others where we look for people who are somewhat compatible on Twitter, and then we try to guess who's tweeting what.
But I think this one's a new one
for us.
Yeah, this one's really going to take off, I believe. It is Justin Bieber or Jaden Smith.
The Battle of the Douches.
It is Justin or Jaden.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets, and you try to tell us who it is. And this week, your choices are...
Justin or Jaden. It's Justin or Jaden. They both are big douchey douchebags. Yeah!
I am reminded that it was Kesha or Amanda Bynes
that's
with the game
right.
that
was
we played
one.
Most recently, but the process is the same. You're going to read a tweet by one of the two involved here, either Jaden Smith or Justin Bieber, and Lisa and I are going to take a stab to see who... tweeted it. We're just going to try to guess. We have not seen the list. We're just going to try to guess based on what the tweets are, who tweeted it. And then I guess at the end, somebody gets to kiss somebody. I don't really know, or lick, or I don't really know what the prize is.
I don't know
is.
What the prize is, but we'll see who wins. And these tweets are going to make Snooki and Chloe look downright deep. They're going to make seem like great philosophical
wow.
minds.
Okay.
Well, these are teenagers, so we do have to give them a tiny bit of slack, right?
No, you don't. Okay. Don't tweet it. If this is what you're going to tweet, just take a moment. Don't tweet it. All right, here you go.
Okay.
Gotta run. That's a tweet. Someone tweeted that. Gotta run.
Come on.
Gotta run.
Well, what are we supposed to do with that?
Gotta run.
We're supposed to guess, and I guess Justin.
All right, Lisa. Thank you for playing the game instead of bitching about it like some people.
I happen, in this case, to agree with Miss May. I'm also going to say Justin Bieber.
What'd you say? You're going to beat the out of you.
You're both right.
All right.
He was
just get a point.
Justin Bieber.
He's so busy.
He is so busy. Okay. I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man.
That's Justin, right? That's just.
I don't know. You tell me.
The
You're
height
playing
of
the game.
Douchery.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man.
I am gonna. You say Justin, Lisa?
I think do.
I believe I'm gonna say Jaden on this one.
What'd you say? You're gonna beat the out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Justin Bieber. That's yeah. right, Lisa May. Okay.
You got it's almost too clever for him. So I understand your hesitation.
Too clever for Justin?
Yes.
Okay.
2-1. 2-1, Lisa.
All right.
I'm here for you. We're about to flip things around. I'm here for you. We're about to flip things around.
What on earth could that mean from either one of them that they're about to... How can they be there for me?
I'm just glad they're here for us. That's all.
I will say Jaden based on nothing.
That's what I was going to say, too.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's here for us, people.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
I actually am comforted by that now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. I know that no matter what goes wrong in my day or in my life, Jaden is there for me.
Yeah. London Town.
Oh, God.
London Town was a tweet.
Oh,
I don't care if you are a teenager. You should know better than just to write London Town and hit send.
Right, exactly. I'm gonna make an informed guess on this and just think that Bieber's international tour is over, so I don't think he's been in London recently. So I'm gonna say Jaden. I'm gonna go the opposite way, Lisa.
Okay.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
Yeah.
We're tied up.
3-3. Yep.
Good guess.
All right.
You know too much about his schedule.
That's right. That's kind of creepy. Back with the boys.
Justin.
That's it.
Back with the boys. That's a tweet.
That's Justin.
Boy, what a waste of time. And by the way, doesn't Justin Bieber, Ralph, have like 25 million people following him or something?
Yes.
I mean, he's like one of the
number.
Two or three most followed
people.
Top two.
I think it's him and Lady Gaga in the top two.
Back with the boys. Okay, I just a guess. I'll say Justin this time.
What'd you say? You want to beat the out of you.
Yep, you're both right.
4-4.
Tied up at 4-4.
Yeah, he's got his boys.
Okay. On a break, and it feels good. On a break, and it feels good.
Lisa, you go first.
I'm going to say Jaden. For really no reason, except, I don't know. I'm just going to say Jaden. I don't have a good reason.
In my attempt to get the lead, I'll say Justin, because I don't know either.
What'd you say? You want to beat the
Justin.
Out of you.
Bean takes the lead.
Bean takes the lead. 5-4. I obviously wasn't, and even if I was, grow up. I obviously wasn't, and even if I was, grow up.
Now, that has the aggression of a Justin Bieber. I don't think I've seen as much of that sort of douchery from Jaden. I'll say Justin Bieber for that one.
That sounds like Jaden to me.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
Tied up.
All right, sudden death, ladies and gentlemen. Next one to get a point wins the game.
Peace.
F you,
peace.
Ralph.
Peace was a tweet.
I want to burn down Twitter. That's what I want to do.
All right.
I'm going to say, I'll go first. I'll say
for the
Jaden
win,
Smith.
Peace.
Jaden Smith is my guess.
Well, I can't guess the same or nobody wins. But I think it's Jaden, but I'm guessing Justin.
It's the coolest and the coolest.
Yeah!
That is a dubious honor, my friend.
Yeah, you know more about those douchebags than anyone,
Bean.
Thanks for playing.
Peace.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing.
Justin or Jaden is Justin or Jaden. They both are big douchey douchebags, yeah.
Nothing but great news for our friend Ozzy Osbourne these days, Lisa.
I am amazed at this story.
Well, two things are going on in Ozzy's life right now, both of which have to make the 64-year-old happy, although he looks 100. First of all, he has the number one album in America this week.
That's stunning.
The Black Sabbath comeback album called 13 is the number one album in America this week, which is crazy. Yeah. How many 64-year-olds are doing that? Secondly, he is back together, reunited, and it feels so good, with his beautiful wife, Sharon, who, as you know, they were separated earlier this year because Ozzy, after many years of sobriety, fell off the wagon. And Sharon is like, no, I've been married to that crazy on drugs Ozzy before, and I'm not going to do it again. So she kicked him out of the house. He was living at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And now he is clean and sober, I guess, over 3 months. Now it looks like not only they're living together again, but they are talking about, and this is very heartwarming, renewing their wedding vows.
Wow, that is very sweet. She is a saint.
She is. And when he says he'd be dead without her, he'd be dead without her.
Yes.
He really would. So we couldn't be happier to see that this is happening. And we asked producer Dave if they could line Ozzy up for us on the phone. And sure enough, we've got him. Ozzy, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hello, Ozzy. How are you? Kevin and Bean here. How's it going?
We're Kevin and Bean. You're Ozzy. Congratulations on, first of all, on the number one album with Black Sabbath. That must feel terrific.
Yeah, Black Sabbath is the number one album now, you know.
Right.
It's number one.
That's what I said to you. Yeah.
Well, it's called Yeezus, and I hope you'll pick it up.
No, it's... 13.
Where are my croissants?
That's the Kanye album. You're a little confused. But the reason we wanted to talk to you is to find out how you were able to patch things up with Sharon, because it sounded like she was pretty ticked off at you, Oz.
Well, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I used to have a problem with drugs and alcohol.
What? We heard something about that.
And so doing drugs and alcohol again after all these years.
Mm-hmm. How could anyone tell if you're doing drugs and alcohol? That's my question.
Well, I get very coherent. I make a lot of sense. So this finally time, now that the Supreme Court says we can get married, that Sharon and I get married again.
Sharon, Supreme Court
says we can get married.
No, Ozzy,
we're
you're
finally going to get married after all these years of
you're confused.
Of being just civil partners.
Ozzy, you were already married. You were fine to get married. You've been married for a long
time. I'm married already? I'm sorry, Sharon. I can't marry you. I'm already married.
No. You can still marry her. You're just renewing your vows, but that doesn't have anything to do with the Supreme Court decision yesterday. That was about same-sex couples that want to marry. It has nothing to do with heterosexual couples.
Yes, we want to have the same sex as married people do. So we're going to get married and have the same sex just like you do.
No.
Why should we be any different? Our sex is just like everyone else's. We have
totally
the same sex as you do.
You don't understand.
It depends on what orifices that you use.
Okay, I don't want to hear about that at all.
We probably have the same sex as you do.
The Supreme Court, yeah.
Do we have the same sex as Kevin and Bean do?
Oh, I hope not.
Yes.
Okay, listen. Okay. The Supreme Court was talking about men who want to marry men,
women too.
All right, what's the renewal ceremony going to be like? Is it going to be big and elaborate? Are you going to wear a suit? She's going to wear a dress? You're going to invite lots of people? Or is it just going to be kind of a low-key thing?
No, I'm going to wear a dress and she's going to wear a suit.
I don't doubt that at all, actually.
It's going to be more fun. It's going to be like this.
Oh, wow, you guys are ready.
Here comes Ozzy. Here comes Sharon. Supreme Court has said that now we can get married.
Nope.
She is the woman. I am the man. We have same sex as gay people do. That means the butt and other places.
Okay, you know what, Ozzy?
Lubricant.
Okay, Ozzy, we gotta go.
All that possible.
All right, Ozzy, congratulations.
We've got 3 children. One used to be fat. She's still unattractive and makes me go.
Oh, Ozzy, you were fine. Come on. This is uncalled for. Ozzy.
You ever watch that Fashion Police on E?
So have you spoiled Sons of Anarchy for Beer Mug yet?
I have not.
You didn't see it last night. How could you not have told him that Charming burned down?
No, I should have. Bean, spoiler alert.
Did I say that? Oh, don't. Hey, party people, welcome in into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday. Mr. Skin will be joining us next hour. Also, Adam Carolla as well. It is the holiday party time.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to do this topic from time to time because there are a lot of people who have terrible, terrible experiences with holiday parties. And it's interesting that those are the stories that we're interested in. Not the great holiday party. We never do a call-in topic where people call and say how awesome their company is and the amazing thing that they got to do because they work for their company.
But then, because I think the rest of us then go, wow, that would be cool if I could have been there.
Yeah.
But these, everyone has agreed that they are glad they weren't there.
That's true.
Yeah.
We're going to be taking your calls on terrible holiday parties at 1-800-520-1067. But you have to admit that it's difficult for the company to get it right.
Well, I guess, but it's not that difficult. It's trying to reinvent the wheel that goes south.
And I think sometimes it's difficult for the company to get it as wrong as they do.
Correct.
Because
that takes a real specialization.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yes.
Really? You really thought anyone would like this?
We had a Christmas show that was thrown by K-Rock many years ago.
A party, yes.
And they had a Joan Rivers impersonator.
Yes.
And they gave her a bunch of personal information about employees. And then she got up and made fun of said employees, at which point said employees ran from the room crying.
Yeah. It hit a little too close to home with some of the things that were said. Like, everyone knows you're an alcoholic, that sort of thing. It's just
it's like,
not really what you want in front of the room, right?
And plus the food, it was like we were eating some kind of shellfish, but they left the eyes in it.
Oh, it was crawling out of the soup.
Bean's wife and I ordered like Domino's pizza to be delivered to table 3 in the conference room. It was horrible.
Speaking of the conference room, by the way, is it possible to have a good holiday party at work?
No.
Or is it automatically not a holiday party if it's in the building where you work?
Well, it depends on where you work. I mean, I imagine if you work at Google or one of those places, it would be awesome.
They could have a great party, yeah.
But I can't imagine people want to spend their time where they work for the whole year.
No.
Wasn't the party last year or the year before at K-Rock, wasn't it in the lobby of the building?
Yes, it was.
I seem to remember that. All
not
all
a conference room. Not a conference room. A lobby.
In the lobby, right.
Yeah.
Well, there's an article online. I'm sorry it's not cited here which site it's from, but it's an article with a list of people writing in about office holiday party disasters. And this will I think this will get your appetite going for the calls that we're going to be taking at 1-800-520-1067. If you've especially if you have a boss who's had an incredibly cheap party. Like if your office party was during lunch hour one day, we want to hear about it.
That's nonsense.
If it was in the cafeteria, if it was where everybody had to bring food for the party, you know, because the whole point of the office party, I think, please tell me if I'm wrong, is the company is kind of paying you back. It's a little bit of a bonus for the employees for working hard all year. That's the goal, right?
Well, I think that's the employee's goal. I'm not sure what the employers want because it doesn't seem like they care that much about it for the most part.
Well, here's a couple of things that people wrote in. For instance, I was working at a sandwich shop with only 6 employees. The owner invited us all to a formal holiday party at his house. So all far, right. So good, right? Get to go to the owner's house, hang out, right?
All right.
Well, I didn't realize until I showed up in my only fancy party dress that I was expected to work the event, serving all the owner's friends and family.
What?
He had the people that worked at a sandwich shop come over thinking they were going to a party, and then they had to provide food?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Strong.
At my now years ago temp job around mid-December, another writer writes into this website, our boss scheduled a holiday lunch at a nice local restaurant. Since it was written on the master calendar and discussed several times in front of us, the other temps and I assumed everyone was invited.
Oh, no.
Come the day of the lunch, all of a sudden the regular staff stopped talking to the temps, avoided eye contact, and kept whispering amongst themselves. It turns out the temps were not invited to their lunch, but no one had the guts to tell us. At lunchtime, the regular staff literally snuck out of the office.
Oh, my God.
Since we had received further instructions when they left, the temps went out to lunch on our own, so we wouldn't be there when they got back. Unfortunately, that meant when we got back from lunch, we, the temps, walked in on the boss handing out presents to everyone on the regular staff, and the temps got nothing. Needless to say, the rest of the day was very uncomfortable for everyone.
So awful.
Let me do one more, then we'll go to your calls. It was an otherwise ordinary party, dinner and dancing at a local hotel ballroom. But between the dinner and dancing, they had karaoke. Not volunteer karaoke, though, and this was before karaoke machines were available. Several small groups of people were coerced into going up and singing, handed the words to songs printed on paper, and made to sing a cappella in front of the entire room. It was so painful to watch their embarrassment. It was humiliating. I wasn't one of those people. I have no bitterness, but I have to tell you, you really think twice about company management that will do that to people. It was downright ugly.
Karaoke should never be forced on someone.
God,
if you don't want to get up and sing, then you shouldn't be forced to.
But imagine how you feel if you're an employee and you're a regular worker a little bit further down on the food chain, and they hand you this paper and say, sing. You got to sing. I'm sorry. It's required. That's miserable, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try. Let's get Brittany on. She's on line one. She'll be our first call here on Holiday Parties Gone Wrong. Hi, Britt.
Hi. Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
All right. What happened?
Okay. So I work for a doctor. I won't tell you where I'm at because I probably they're all listening. And his birthday is December 18th. So every year we have to celebrate our Christmas party with his birthday.
What?
Kidding.
He wants to do.
And do you have to give him presents?
We do presents. We all pitch in and do something for him. But yeah, we do birthday present, Christmas present, and do whatever he wants to do for his birthday.
Oh, wow. My God.
That hurts.
That's sweet. That's sweet that he's willing to turn the entire office into just a give me something. I love that.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good move.
Thank you, Brittany. Susie, you hang on. Dave as well, and David. We'll take your calls next as well. 1-800-520-1067. Terrible office Christmas parties when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kevin. Taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 about holiday parties gone awry, especially as the cheaper the boss, the better. And I love David on line six. I want to jump on him before we lose his call because he has the ultimate. He has exactly what we're looking for. Hi, David. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. Holiday party disaster. What happened?
Well, we have our party during our lunch hour. I work for a pretty big company. It's a bus company. And, I mean, it's a multi-million dollar company. We got locations all over the states. And, yeah, they have it during lunch hour. And the thing that sucks about it is they raffle off some cool things, and they have food and stuff. So it's kind of cool. But if you're gone and just happen to miss the lunch or the Christmas party like I did last year, you don't get the gift.
They then don't give you a gift because you didn't show up to pick it up?
you don't get the gift.
That's nice.
It's like a raffle. You have to be present to win, Kevin. That's how that works.
I like that.
Thank you for the call from Facebook. Sandra writes in, at Princess Cruises, I used to work there. They would give you an extra 30 minutes for your lunch break to go to the holiday party. It was in a nearby public parking garage. Okay.
Oh, no.
Lupe tweets, party had Filipino Elvis impersonator. And Gabe tweets these words, company parking lot, Hawaiian Lays, snow fight with kids, and camels.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
I don't know.
That is a pretty good party to me.
Sort of makes me want to be at that one. Got to be honest.
It is funny, though, that Princess Cruises, I mean, you would think they would have the most beautiful ballrooms in the world at their disposal, be it a Princess Cruise ship,
and
right?
Entertainment.
Exactly, yeah. Let's go to Desiree. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 here on K-Rock this morning. Desiree is up next. She's on line 5.
Hi, Desiree.
Good morning.
What happened to your holiday party?
We're not actually having our holiday party until January 4th.
Oh, this is one of our favorites because you get a place, you get the food much cheaper in January.
No. We're still having it at the CEO's house.
What?
Yes.
Well, then why are you doing it in January?
I have no idea, but apparently Christmas attire is required.
In January.
That's wow. In January. Terrible.
Because the CEO is already knocked off for the year. He's in the Alps or something right now, so he can't have his party for his employees. Let me ask you this, Desiree, because we haven't mentioned this yet. Some parties are mandatory attendance. Is yours one of those?
No.
All right.
Most of the employees are not even going.
Not mandatory. Okay. And what about spouses and or significant others and or dates allowed?
Yes, they are.
They are. Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Well, then you're nowhere near at the bottom of the pile. We've heard a lot worse, but January 4th, that does hurt.
Don't get us wrong.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's talk to a Trinity. She's on line 3. He or she, I apologize, working for the United States Postal Service. What kind of parties do you think our own government is throwing? Hi, Trinity.
Hi. Ours is a potluck, and it's during our break. It's about 10 minutes. We grab our food.
Wait. Hold on. It's not even lunch?
Nope.
Just your 10-minute break.
Yep.
And then you got to bring all the food.
Yep.
Wow. How is that a party? That doesn't even not even the definition of a party.
I know. It's really sad. It's really sad. And then we kind of have to go because we have to finish our route, you know?
Of course. That's awesome. The only way it could be better is if the government made you sign up for it by a website.
Yeah. Right?
The best. Exactly.
Thank you, Trinity.
Go Raiders. All right, let's take Miguel real quick. He's on line 2. He's up next. We forgot about the category of parties where you have to pay to go.
Oh, right.
Miguel, welcome to the show.
How are you doing, Kevin and Bean?
Good.
How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm good.
Tell us about your holiday party disaster.
Well, it's actually the one that's coming up in a couple of weeks. They expect me to pay for the holiday party, and it's at a hookah lounge that's like right across the street from where we work. And I've been there. The lunches are maybe $10, $15 at most.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They expect $40 a plate, and your guests, too.
Wait, so you know how much it costs, which is $10 a person, and they're charging $40 a person.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, are they making money?
Yeah, they need
party?
To make money. That's what it is. Bottom line, end of the year. Awesome.
Take a profit out of us.
Do you have to go?
Well, they gave us the option not to go, and I'm not going.
There you go.
Good man. I wouldn't either.
You're going to find yourself without a job at the new year, but congratulations.
You know, you could just go there and buy your own meal.
Right, exactly. Save money. Do us a favor, though, you know, for future K-Rock party planning purposes, tip us off to where that hookah lounge is, actually. That sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you for the call. All right, let's do one more. This is Gabby. She has the fantastic combination of holiday parties / being fired, which I think is really another category that we hadn't really gotten into. Gabby, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Yeah, I think this happened like 2 years ago at my fashion company, and they were about to do some layoffs, so the years before we never got a Christmas party. We just got like a free In-N-Out gift certificate and like a $20 gift certificate to Ralph's. So
right.
This year, or that 1 year, they were going to do some layoffs in the warehouse at the company, so they decided to have the holiday party during lunchtime. And after the celebration, they gave out they laid off almost half the staff in the warehouse, and it was just really sad seeing the people walk out with their like plate of food and then just like all their stuff.
Oh my God. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. You walk to the car with your sad little paper plate on top of the box from your office.
Merry Christmas, half of you.
Capital City's right there. See that band Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. They are part of the sold out K-Rock Weenie Wuss 2013.
Weenie Wuss 2013.
We got your tickets. You can win in about an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, hit it, Steve.
Double rainbow. Your people are trying to break them, so you need to add your kids, add your wife.
And they said, we want your money, everybody down. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if he called me down. And so, the guy is black, so it's coming down, 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 down. And I'm backing up, backing up, backing up, backing up. Cause my daddy taught me good.
Why would you want a real girlfriend who you can spend real time with? Are you gay?
Far from it. Far from it.
Why, man, time?
Yeah, give away. Yeah, give away. My neighbor got big testicles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have the glue that that girl put in that house. She said, please help me get it out. Yeah, give away.
Well, we're out of time, guys. Thanks a lot for coming in. Good to see you. Ladies and gentlemen, they are the Gregory Brothers. They are here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Welcome. I think we have Andrew and Michael. Is that right?
That's right. You're exactly right. How'd you guess?
Welcome to K-Rock, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Along with your brother Andrew and his wife Sarah are the Gregory Brothers, and you have pretty much taken over the world. You are the best at what you do, which is to take people on the news and turn them into songs. Did you guys invent the word songify, by the way? Was that something that came from you?
I believe we did. We didn't think the word autotune really captured it because, you know, you're adding music, you're doing all these other things, so we needed a new word in Webster's immediately.
How successful was that Songify app that you put out that allowed everybody to talk and make their own songs out of their stuff?
Our grandmom has it, so I mean, I feel like you always know you've crossed a threshold. We talk about it in the office, the mom threshold. Yeah. That's when your video's really gone viral. So since we've crossed the grandmom threshold, I figure that we've sold at least 5 billion.
That's 5 billion apps.
5 billion apps for free.
It's pretty huge. Well, I know we've had you guys, but we've talked to you guys before on the phone, and it seems like this new career that you have of the viral video creators is like the last thing in the world you ever expected would happen. I mean, you guys were just like a lot of people trying to make it as a band, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, in 2007, we went on a tour all across the country just in a van, like many bands would. You know, we were really biding our time because when we were, you know, in middle school, high school, we'd sit around the house and say, guys, here's the plan. In probably 10, 15 years, there's going to be a website that'll let you put videos up on the online, and we'll start making videos, and eventually, you know, we'll start making money from that. So it was really, we were really just biding our time, you know, before our master plan panned out.
Good thinking. Wow. Prescient. What was the first one you did?
I think the first one ever was a debate between Joe Biden and Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
So we turned that into a musical.
Tell me how the inspiration struck and the Gregory Brothers, as we know them today, were born.
So we knew each other from a very young age, from, I think, the age of zero.
Yeah, I met Evan first. And then
I met the musical act, the viral video musical act. Tell me how that inspiration struck
Michael
when that debate
Michael
was on
made
TV.
Michael made a music video that was a debate between Obama and McCain in 2008. And Michael had subtracted Obama out of the video and put himself in sort of as a fake Obama. A lot of people were confused. They saw Michael on the screen and thought, wow, that guy's really a dead ringer for Obama. And the next debate was coming around. It was the vice presidential debate between Palin and Biden.
Yeah.
And we sort of had the idea. We'd all started getting pumped up to work on this next video. We had the idea to actually – Michael's trained as a studio engineer – to use his sort of brain power at auto-tuning singers in the studio at auto-tuning Palin and Biden. And we're kind of lucky because when we used that later on Obama and McCain, they were kind of terrible unintentional singers. If we tried it on them first, we might have given up. But Palin and Biden were unbelievable.
They're always
yelling. It just sounded great.
Yeah, they're just some of the best unintentional singers ever. Obama in a debate is just – he's just so – deliberate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where Biden's just screaming, God bless America! at any possible given moment, really.
Right, right, right. Whether it's relatable to the question or not.
Oh, man. So, we're kind of getting, go ahead.
Auto-tuning the news then, that was kind of, that was the breakthrough. And then all of a sudden you realize how big those videos became. And that led to songifying.
Yeah, exactly. We were making, we decided to serialize it and figured the best way to do it was the news. But after we'd been doing that for about a year, you guys played, you know, a minute or two ago, the Double Rainbow song.
Right.
That was
right.
The first song where we saw a video that wasn't a news video and sort of said, wow, listen to this guy's unintentional singing potential. You know, this just can't. We just can't let this guy lie around and not be an unintentional singer.
And it's one thing to run voice through through the auto tune, but I mean, obviously the musical chops that you guys have to be able to create those melodies and make those hooks so memorable. I mean, you turn them into hit songs. I mean, your stuff is some of the catchiest stuff that's out there, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I mean, you can look at it and see how many you've sold on iTunes to see that. But I mean, you have hit songs. Now, do you incorporate these when you go out and play with the band now, when you play your own music that you write? Do you do these songs as well?
You know, the last time we went on tour was in 2010 now, and we went out on a much bigger tour than we went out on in 2007. And, yeah, we took a seven-piece rock band, and we had a huge screen behind us and would project the videos on the screen while we sort of, like, played the songs and sang them up front. It was really different and really fun than what we were doing years ago.
Does it kind of blow your mind when you see people singing along to Antoine Dodson, for instance, doing the Bed Intruder song?
It would blow my mind if people weren't singing along to Antoine Dodson. I mean, listen to that guy go.
Tell me about the phenomena of the cover versions of your hits.
Well, I mean, the thing about the YouTube community is it's that's why people love YouTube, and it's why we love YouTube, is because there is that community. And we first saw that happening with Double Rainbow and the Bed Intruder song. Just the covers people were putting out blew our minds. There was the there was a guy doing a shamisen version.
Yeah, the Japanese shamisen.
Which is like a three-string lute. That video has like 2 million views now, and it should. It's remarkable.
There's you always get pumped up when you see the marching band version.
Yeah, there's the marching band version of the Bed Intruder song. And we loved those videos, and I think because we would link to them, they would get a lot more views. But it also just got people thinking, like, oh, man, some guy made a shamisen version. Well, I guess I'm going to make this awesome dance version. And really sort of drove this whole just wave of excitement about those songs.
Yeah, it's like a competition. Can the accordion outdo the violin?
Right, right. Do you guys remember when you first found out that Haley from Paramore had covered your Bed Intruder song?
It was a good thing I was wearing my brown pants that day.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the type of thing. When you're working, you know, hard at work on your computer in the office there in New York, the last thing in the world you're thinking about is somebody like her singing one of your songs. It just must be so crazy for you. I can't imagine.
That was wild. That week, I got calls from two separate friends who had seen Sugarland and Harry Connick Jr. in concert that were like, hey, I know you aren't going to believe this, but I was just at a concert and they covered the Bed Intruder song.
Oh my God.
Sadly, that's we could never find a recorded version of Harry Connick Jr. doing it. But
that is amazing. The Gregory Brothers are here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got Andrew and Michael from the group, Evan and Sarah of the other half, and they are all going to be in town for an event that's happening this Sunday night. YouTube Comedy Week is a special event that's going on Sunday through the following week, and it is showcasing the best of comedy with live events, video premieres, and the world's funniest people. This lineup is unbelievable. You guys are just part of it. But Vince Vaughn, Lonely Island, Seth Rogen, Epic Mealtime, Tim and Eric, Norm MacDonald, Craig Robinson, Rainn Wilson, the list goes on and on and on. And I guess you guys are in town doing something special for that event that kicks off on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're here this week to shoot a music video that is going to be part of Comedy Week for 1 week and 1 week only. YouTube is going to allow funny videos to be posted on the website. You know, it's never happened before, and someone over at YouTube just thought, wow, what if there were funny things?
Well, that might – could we also get funny videos with people and their cats? Is that something they can do on YouTube? Or are they not really to cross that line yet?
Like, they already had some hamster videos, but the hamsters were too somber. They need some humorous hamsters.
If you want a pair of passes to the big live comedy show coming up on Sunday, May 19th, to kick off YouTube Comedy Week, we have room for two winners right now at 1-800-520-1067. You can call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Win those tickets, callers 10 and 11. More with the Gregory Brothers when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kevin. K-Rock right after.
The Gregory Brothers are here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are musicians and viral video creators. They're the guys who take the things that we all laugh at on the news, the YouTube videos of colorful people generally reacting to bad news, and they turn them into a sensation, make them a musical hit. And you share, I think this is interesting, explain how you guys are collaborators with the people who in the YouTube videos, and they get some of the money when you sell those songs, right?
Yeah, we've just always considered, some people are amazed by that, but we never thought to do it any way different. We just always thought, well, these people are, I mean, it's kind of like a co-write, really. Mm-hmm. They made up the words and we made up the music.
Has there ever been anyone who hasn't been flattered by your treatment of them? Someone who wished you hadn't done it or asks you not to put it out or anything like that?
No, that's never happened. We've always gotten great feedback, whether it's from the people themselves or whether we auto-tune a lot of politicians. Will get like hilarious YouTube comment or YouTube messages from their like teenage kids being like, "My mom loves your video." It's like that's like the kid of a congresswoman sending us a YouTube message.
So when you see somebody like Sweet Brownie, Nobody Got Time for That, or Kai with the smash, smash, mash, when you see something like that, you can't get into the studio fast enough. You know that the clock is ticking. And by the way, your stuff has become so successful that you have many imitators now. There's people who sometimes get videos up as fast as you do, right?
Yeah. In fact, we didn't do the Sweet Brown one, but there's a very watched remix of Sweet Brown that honestly, the guy did a great job with, but you're exactly right. When we saw Kai, we thought like, man, like we got to get in the studio because Kai was a hit waiting to
be made. He was magic, yeah. All right, let's talk about Charles Ramsey. He's the guy we all saw on the news last week. He's this guy.
We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
He's this guy.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here.
Now, our email started blowing up from Kevin and Bean listeners who said, oh my God, you're going to love this dude so much. I can't imagine what it was like at Gregory Brothers headquarters when your fans wanted to make sure you knew about Mr. Ramsey.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the great thing about the modern age is that within an hour of that blowing up on the internet, we don't even have to be online now. There are so many people emailing us and sending us tweets, and we love that because when we see something being suggested that much, we trust our fans and know that they're going to know what works for us.
And walk me through, if you can, a little bit of the process of how you took that news interview from that Cleveland television station and turned it into dead giveaway. Like, what? How many steps do you have to go through to get it to the point where we see it?
Whew, how many steps? Well, first, you got to make the coffee.
First, yeah, you make the coffee. Then you stay up and watch the NBA. I think I was yeah, watching the Heat versus the Bulls, and I got inspired by Nate Robinson. I said, if he puts up more points than LeBron, I can stay up and make this video tonight.
Right. You start with the game on mute, and then after 5 minutes, you say you'll turn it off mute for just a couple minutes. Watch just a couple minutes. Then 3 hours later, you're juiced after the game. The coffee's ready. You order a pizza. You dip it in the coffee. You're ready to go.
At some point, do you get to making the music? Does that happen?
Sometimes. Sometimes okay. It happens. Sometimes it never happens.
So, but I mean, do you ever just stare at your computer screen like you've watched this interview and you see what the awesome clips are that he says, but you just don't have the inspiration for the music or whatever? You just can't figure out how to put it together. Does it take a while to kind of crack that nut?
Yeah, it really can. And sometimes you start to do a song and you realize it's just not going to work at all. Like, I remember I was going to take the Lance Armstrong and Oprah interview and turn that into something, and it was just so boring. Which was really surprising to me, and the voices were not very melodious, so it just didn't work.
Yeah, we definitely have files and files and folders full of unfinished projects that we started and didn't put out. You know,
isn't that interesting? Because they just don't work. They just don't work out. Like you said, if somebody is just monotone, they're not giving you very much to play with, right?
Yeah, we're our own quality control department, and we don't want to unleash, you know, a less than excellent songification upon the world.
Here's a little bit of the Gregory Brothers and what they did with Charles Ramsey and a song that's become a hit, by the way. They call it Dead Giveaway.
Talking with Charles Ramsey, he's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dead Giveaway. Dead Giveaway. My neighbor got big testicles because we see this dude every day. We eat ribs with this dude, but we didn't have a clue that that girl was in that house. She said, please help me get out.
They give away, 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 give away, give away, they give away.
They give away, they give away. My neighbor got big testicles because we see this dude every day.
Oh my God. So good.
Did you talk to Charles Ramsey yourself? Did you guys do any kind of follow-up, talk to him and tell him what you were doing or let him know the song was up on iTunes or anything like that?
You know, the song isn't up on iTunes yet precisely because we haven't talked to Charles about it. We've been trying to get in touch with them, but we just have I don't know. It's not like we have this written in stone, but we just always talked among ourselves, and you aren't going to put up a song on iTunes before you talk to somebody about it. So
right.
We're trying to get in touch with Charles, and hopefully it'll be up on iTunes later this week.
And I would think something like this would be, I mean, he'd welcome it. I mean, I would imagine. And he just seems like a super good dude, too. I mean, you saw him in his Piers Morgan interview, and they asked him, what about the reward money, you know, for finding these girls in Cleveland? He's like, hey, I got a job. If there's any reward money, give it to those girls. They're the ones who deserve it. I mean, he just seems like the kind of guy, you know, who would do something great with whatever money came his way as a result of being in the right place at the right time on this one.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and he seems like the neighbor everybody wishes they had.
Absolutely. Well, Dead Giveaway is just the latest. You never know when you're going to be called into action. You could go a month between something happening, or something could happen today that you're going to have to run right back into the studio for.
Yeah, we're basically like the Ghostbusters. We're just always on call, you know, for whatever weird things happen in the world.
Before we let the Gregory brothers go, I understand you are working on a pilot for Comedy Central. That sounds intriguing. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we've been working on it with Comedy Central for a while. And it's just we just want to take some of our longer, wackier ideas that haven't made it onto YouTube and put them on TV for folks. Some of the stuff that takes longer than 2 minutes of your time.
Right. That's awesome. All right. YouTube Comedy Week kicks off this Sunday night. Again, the Gregory brothers are going to be part of that, along with Vince Vaughn, The Lonely Island, and Epic Battles of History, Funny or Die, Nerdist, Tim and Eric, all of our favorites, Epic Mealtime. They're all going to be there. You should definitely check out YouTube for the Comedy Week for all the information about that. And you can get the Gregory brothers at thegregorybrothers.com. And, of course, follow them on YouTube as well and on Twitter at Gregory Brothers. So nice to meet you guys in person, man. You do outstanding work. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having me.